I'm sitting in a booth at CANSEC, the largest military trade show in Canada. Thousands of people are here to see the latest developments in military-grade technology, from vehicles to drones to intelligence gathering to cybersecurity. In the previous episode, I dove into the newest OSINT tools being developed by Microsoft. In this episode, we're going to take a step into the future. Or maybe it's a step back into the past. I don't know. It's a bit of a Twilight Zone situation. The quantum universe is a weird place, where subatomic particles seemingly communicate invisibly with one another, tied together by some timeless force. Where multiple universes exist, where all events that will happen already have, and where all previous events have yet to occur. It's a world where cats get locked in boxes with poison, seemingly existing in a dual state, both alive and dead. It's a world where a single photon of light can be in an infinite amount of places at once, but when you observe it, it's forced to pick one. I'm not going to pretend to understand how this all works, but one thing I do know is that the physical manifestation of this bizarre world is headed right for us, in the form of computers. Quantum computers. This is Cloak & Dagger, a podcast about OSINT, technology, and global conflict. I'm MJ Benias. This podcast is powered by Sapper Labs Group. For more, visit www.sapperlabs.com.
I'm Mike Renning, and I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Quantropy, which is an Ottawa-based cybersecurity startup focused on quantum cryptography.
For people like myself who have no idea what you're talking about, and just the person on the street, like what is quantum cryptography? Why does this matter? It sounds like it's from science fiction. What is it?
Yes, I'm from the future, and I'm here to help. So let's start at the basics. The internet. Right? About a trillion times a day uses secure transactions, email, browsing, online transactions, digital signatures like DocuSign, you name it. If you know, HTTPS, S is for security. So all of that uses cryptographic functions to secure the data in motion, data at rest, right? Every time you go to a .com site, you negotiate a secure session. And there are three building blocks of a complete cryptographic or complete security solution. Asymmetric encryption, which is used to establish trust. I'm me, you're MJ, we can verify each other's identity, we now trust each other. So trust is the first piece. The second piece is symmetric encryption, which is how do I actually encrypt the data so that bad guys and nobody I don't want to see it can't see the data itself, whether it's when I'm transmitting or when you store it. That's symmetric encryption, AES 256. And that pushes the uncertainty to the attacker. And the third leg of the stool is entropy, or strong random numbers, strong password. Because if I have a strong lock, but a weak key, what's the point? And that's, so you have trust, uncertainty, entropy, or TRUE, a handy acronym, to remember the three things you have to be secure. Here's the problem. Encryption is hard math. But when you find a solution at a hard math, you can open the envelope and steal the contents. Back in the 90s, a guy named Peter Shor, who now got a Nobel Prize, came up with an algorithm called Shor's algorithm that will break current asymmetric encryption. Okay. Tear it apart like it's tissue paper. You just need a big enough quantum computer. And so that was 25 years ago. Guess what? We're getting close to having a big enough quantum computer, so we've got to replace today's encryption with encryption that is impervious to a quantum attack. And that's where we come in.
So let's talk about what that means. So when, for the layman out there who sort of has maybe a basic understanding of sort of the quantum universe itself and how quantum computers function, you know, the general understanding is, you know, all computers function within a binary system of a zero or one. Within
right.
The quantum realm and within quantum computing, the zero and one kind of goes away, right?
Right, because with a qubit, it's kind of again, it's the funny superposition is what it's called. It's zero and one at the same time and everything in between. So it's shades of gray. So it's not binary anymore. It can be sort of one, sort of zero, and both at the same time. And then what happens is when you measure it, it collapses to a specific state. And so why everyone's kind of excited in the near term is I can give it a problem. And there, for example, optimization, and the lowest energy state will be the optimal result. And so rather than today's classic computers to get to an optimization, they try. Quantum computers say, hey, give me the answer. And it does. It just gives you it in one go because you just measure it and it goes lowest is X. X is the answer. So I can optimize a portfolio that I'm trading. I can optimize the UPS route to bring you your Amazon package, right? I can optimize my supply chain. I can optimize a drug compound. So these are the early use cases that everyone is super excited. But guess what? The optimization is the key. So my cryptography, I go, hey, what's the key? And they go, 7, because that's the lowest energy state. And as a result, effectively, that's how they know in almost one go what your key is. And so once I have a big enough computer, every lock gets opened.
So in really simple terms, the standard encryption we use today will not defend against a quantum computer.
Mathematically proven, it will not.
So then what's ultimately the solution here? We know China is heavily involved in this as well. Ultimately, how do we secure ourselves? What do we need to do to compete in this sort of upcoming world?
Right. Well, Canada is a world leader in actual quantum compute, thanks to Waterloo, McGill University, and others all over Canada, actually in Sherbrooke Research Center. Canada actually leads the world in some quantum research. So great news, Canada's contributing to quantum science. Bad news, it can be weaponized. Yeah. And in fact, in January, DARPA, very publicly in the US, gave Microsoft and two other quantum companies a 5-year contract to build a code breaker. So they're trying to, it's the Manhattan Project of crypto. They said, build me one, because they don't want to be surprised when a bad guy that they don't like has one. And the great news is Canada and the US actually collaborate and lead the world in cryptographic research. In fact, the FIPS standard, which every government and bank uses for for encryption standards, co-sponsored by Canada. And so Canada leading the way. So what do we got to do? You know, if someone's making a gun, you got to make a shield. And that's what we're focused on, which is coming up with a new class of mathematical approaches that don't have the susceptibility, don't have the same pathway that can be broken by quantum. We need something that's called post-quantum, which means no matter how the quantum superpowers don't speed up the attack. And so to some degree, what we did at Quantropy, our co-founder, Dr. Randy Kwong, who... quantum physicist, worked at Nortel Advanced Research for 20 years, gone on to do other things. He co-founded Quantropy because he's using quantum science for information security, fighting quantum with quantum. But because quantum is physics and physics are math, just ask Einstein, once we can describe a quantum science mathematically, once you have math, you can write a computer algorithm, which is what we did. And now once we have a computer algorithm, I can run it on your iPhone. I can run it on your Android. I can run it on your MacBook. I can run it on your cloud computer. So I can run it on today's classic systems, but get that quantum protection. And the scary part is it's not just waiting for this someday theoretical quantum computer. Our friends over in AI are actually speeding up the attacks because today's encryption are based on NP-hard math problems that have structure. And what's AI good at? Machine learning's great at finding structure. So unfortunately, AI is acting as an accelerant on when the attack comes. And based on the latest research, we think it'll be provable against today's encryption in the next 1 to 3 years.
So I need to ask, like, what is your ultimate nightmare here when it comes to potentially us not being prepared or ready? Like, what's the the dark universe scenario here?
Well, the dark universe scenario is every email, every data system, every critical infrastructure, I don't have to break the encryption. I just have the key. So I just open the lock. And as a result, I can turn off the lights. I can turn off the water. I can turn off the O train here in Ottawa, right? I can forge. Like if you've ever DocuSigned anything, I can say, hey, MJ, this contract with your signature says you owe me $1 million. And you can say, actually, Mike, this contract with your signature says you owe me $1 billion. And they're both, they will both pass all the tests, deep fake of everything you've ever DocuSigned. You owe the bank $1 million on your house. But you say you owe zero, they say you owe a trillion. Who's right? That's how you bring the economy, society, the internet to a halt, because you can trust nothing. So we talked about true, and actually that's why Quantropy was founded, which was to preserve truth and trust, because that's what our modern society is based on. So the analogy I always use, and this is actually perfect for today, it's a bright sunny day in Ottawa. The radar says a storm is coming, but unlike weather radar, when it says it'll be here in 3 hours, the quantum radar says it'll be here in some number of years, and we're not sure how many. And so the challenge is for most CIOs or CISOs, right, the security folks in government and business, they're fighting phishing attacks. They're fighting ransomware. They're fighting daily attacks. And so to worry about attack that's a couple months to a couple years away, but nobody's sure, harder to prioritize. They get it intellectually, but nope, who's got enough budget to do everything, right? So I wouldn't say that the government especially is behind the curve. In fact, they're actively participating. And in fact, again, a lot of the early work in quantum securities come out of Canada. And NIST in the U.S. has been leading a global process that Canada's participating in to find new technologies, but they've been at it for 7 years when they thought they had 20. Now they may have 1 to 3 because of AI. And so we got to move a little quicker. Got to see the storm clouds. And that's, so it's not that anyone's got their head in the sand. It's just, how do you see it as so close that you get the umbrella out?
My father used to say at an intersection, they only put a street light up until somebody gets hit by a car.
Right.
And my concern is fundamentally from a national security standpoint, from an intelligence standpoint, from a cybersecurity standpoint, I'm concerned that that's going to apply where you're going to have the decision makers wait until somebody gets hit by the car.
Well, but actually, again, as everything, like any big entity, organization, government, whatever, it lumbers along, but there's always the fast movers. And so if you think we're here at CANSEC, if you can think about who, say, for example, in the defense are the fast movers, right? I'll let you think about that. Guess what? One of those groups that tends to be pointy, let's put it that way, will be fielding our technology in a demonstration at a NATO exercise in the near future. So they're not, because these are the folks that are, again, the very front edge. And therefore, they're like, you know what? We've got to kick the tires and we got to see this stuff in action so that we aren't caught flat-footed. So more to come. That's not yet. I'm trying to be a little bit vague only because it's not yet all out there. It's not going to be a secret either. But that's important to let folks know that the fast movers of any organization, the fast movers of the banks, they're on this. It's the core is always, takes a little while longer, but the front edge folks are kicking the tires, are testing it out, are validating that it works as expected so that we can have a smooth, because you can't reboot the internet, right? And so we've got to have a transition path. So those that are worried are testing it now.
It boils down to riding the wave of change and trying to stay on top of it. Security, especially cybersecurity, is in a constant state of flux. And as quantum computers are just around the digital corner, we're going to have to deal with this reality soon. Or maybe it already is a reality, somewhere out there in time and space. Thanks to Michael Redding, the CTO from Quantropy, for joining me at the Cloak & Dagger podcast booth at CANSEC. For more, make sure you check out www.cloakanddagger.blog. If you like the show, make sure you follow us on social media. The links are in the show notes. And, you should also rate and review the show. Share it on your social media. Tell your cat to listen to it when you eventually let them out of the box. That's a quantum physics joke. I'm MJ Benias. I'm live at CANSEC, and this is Cloak & Dagger.